peace that was meant to be.
Please come back with me to our text from the book of Job 1. And I should let you know we treat this a little differently today rather than like an exposition of the text. And it is highly likely at some point along the way we would get back to this chapter because of the theme that it brings to our lives. On September 11th, 2001, we witnessed an attack on the symbols of the economic and military power that America projects around the world. Before the day was over, we saw the collapse of the World Trade Center, we saw the Pentagon on fire, and the remains of United Flight 93 that plowed upside down in a remote village in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Today, the country salutes the brave first responders who gave their lives that day and those who survived. These people, in the words of Abraham Lincoln, gave the last full measure of devotion. 10 years later, 9/11 is still with us, for we are still at war with those that attacked us. The day may come when ground zero is completely rebuilt, but a sense of security and a feeling of invincibility that we once had is now gone. Now we know that we are not safe, not even on our own soil. Bad things continue to flow from 9/11. The wars that followed, you know very well, have claimed more American lives than the attack itself. The last time I checked these figures, it was over 5,560 American lives. Today, as we sit here, the country is under high terrorist alert. And as I was hearing early this morning, the diseases that afflict so many because of that event still continue to trouble lives. The story of Job is a story about bad things happening to people. Not just good people, but righteous people. And the story gives us a framework for our 9/11 remembrance today. So we talk about when bad things happen. And we address the question for the subject in, with, let us say, three simple questions. When bad things happen, we ask who? That is, what's the source of the bad things? Namely, who is doing this to us? Because we feel when bad things happen, there is agency somewhere. Something, someone is responsible for this. Now, when a crime is committed, Investigators often would come forward and say, we have a person of interest. Isn't that so? We have a person of interest. So when bad things happen, who is the person of interest? Verse 6 through 12 of the text you heard so well read before, it tells us that one day the heavenly beings came and present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And my friends, at times that is all you need to know. The person of interest when bad things happen, the source is this being, Satan. Satan was among them. And you know the story very well. Satan is the one to whom God gave permission to bring these afflictions upon this man. When we think of 9/11 and all the evils that have happened there, we remember the words of Martin Luther in that hymn, "A mighty fortress is our God," he said, "and though this world with devils fill, will threaten to undo us." We live in a world with devils filled. And 9/11 is an event that the evil one would inspire and rejoice at. When bad things happen in your life, remember, the devil, Satan, is a person of interest. Jesus, speaking of him, he said, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. So the source of bad things, who caused them? The devil is a person of interest, I'm saying. But secondly, I'm also saying, when bad things happen, consider yourself, myself, as a person of interest. Why? We are often our own worst enemy. If you build your house in a floodplain, guess what? Prepared for it to be washed away. Isn't it so? Anybody here today? If you abuse your health, be prepared for a disease. And so some people think that 9/11 happened because of the flawed policies of our government. The 9/11 Commission report said, our leaders failed to protect the homeland. The terrorists were at war with us, although we were not at war with them. We did not take them seriously. Why? February the 26th, 1993, the World Trade Center was attacked by terrorists. The North Tower was attacked. The intention was to bring down the North Tower, let it crash into the South Tower, and so kill thousands of Americans. But that day, fortunately for the majority, only 6 people were killed. About 300 people were injured. They were at war with us. We did not take it seriously. When bad things happen, often we are our worst enemy, we cause it. But again, the source of bad things, when bad things happen, is God a person of interest? Many people have asked, did God cause 9/11 to happen to America? The Reverend Jeremiah Wright thinks so. What do you think? Is the bad economy God's punishment on America? Daniel Ortega, president of Nicaragua, thinks so. What do you think? Those who suspect God as the agent behind evil and the 9/11 attacks are those who often ask, where was God when America was attacked? Does God have an alibi? You know what I mean? Where was God when it happened to us? There's a little story of a man who lost his son tragically in a train accident. And out of the brokenness of his heart and the heavy grief he was carrying, he rushed to his pastor's office. And sitting across from the pastor, he asked, "Pastor, where was God when my son was killed in that accident?" And sometimes God inspired pastors, you know. The pastor looked at him and said, "Where was God when your son was killed?" Just where he was when his son was killed on the cross. Ever with us. And the Bible teaches that God gave us this wonderful creation. But evil is a part of our existence. God gave us freedom, but we have chosen evil rather than good. So we live in a universe that is cursed. Cursed because of human choosing. And so diseases are here. Darkness is here. Sin is here. Satan is here. Should you meet a person from another planet, friends, be sure to tell them, "This place is cursed." Yes, there is good here. Don't get me wrong. There is a lot of good. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. But even the Garden of Eden had the evil one lurking to bring down the first couple. And so, as we think of evil in this world, if we are inclined to blame God, remember it is this condition of evil that caused the Son of God to leave his throne above and come to this place to die for us. I would never be clear in my mind as to the source of evil, but I am never unclear in my mind as to the one who has come to destroy it all. And so we pray to then the Lord's Prayer, "And deliver us from evil." It is here, and God is our deliverer. So when bad things happen, we ask who? What's the source? What are persons of interest? Satan. Don't count yourself out. You might have done something to bring it on. But God is there as the one to deliver us from evil. But secondly, we will not only ask about the source of evil when bad things happen. We will ask ourselves too about the force of evil when bad things happen. I remember a press conference on 9/11. And in that conference, Mayor Giuliani was asked, "How many casualties, Mayor?" And he gave that memorable reply, "The number of college casualties will be more than any of us can bear." On 9/11, there was that force of evil. Bad things happen to people. And so as I read the book of Job, and should you read the book of Job, friends, I look at it this way. Job was one of the many citizens in the land of Uz who suffered greatly in this national calamity that came upon the people. And the sufferings of this righteous man tells us a whole lot of things about life, friends. Those who play by the rules sometimes suffer as well. The suffering of this righteous man tells us you don't have to go looking for evil, somehow it finds you. People who never smoke a cigarette end up with lung cancer. Careful drivers are often killed by reckless drivers. Some parents have done their best and everything in addition for their kids, and yet they end up with broken hearts. Yes, Charlie Brown is not the only good guy to finish last. Yes, bad things happen. And we feel their force. And so you read it here in the text. Poor Job, what happened to this man? Verse 15, the Sabaeans came and killed the servants. He lost his servants. Verse 16, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants in the field. Verse 18, the messenger said, your sons and your daughters, you know, seven sons, three daughters, were eating and drinking wine, the eldest brother's house. Suddenly you have this calamity. The house is destroyed. Verse 19, struck the four corners of the house. Job lost his wealth. Job lost his children. Job lost his health, because we learn that he was sitting in this ash heap covered with sores. When bad things happen, we feel its force. It comes against us. And so for 10 years and counting, we have felt the force released by the evil of 9/11. For 10 years, many of our fellow citizens have buried their dead because of the wars fought in Afghanistan and Iraq. Across the land, brave warriors limp among us because they left parts of their bodies on those maiming battlefields. Some have returned, but somehow they have not come back. They have lost a sense of identity and integrity, that is wholeness of being. They're here, but they have lost their way. Some would argue that because of 9/11, we got things like the Patriot Act that caused us to lose some of our freedoms and some of our rights. As I said before, even today, we sit under threat. The effects of 9/11 are here, maybe here forever. Who among us would volunteer for a TSA shakedown or screening at an airport? Would you? I would not. When bad things happen, we feel its force. When bad things happen, we feel its force. And thirdly and finally, when bad things happen, we ask, what's the source? What's the force? Now, what's our recourse when bad things happen? That is, where do we turn when bad things happen? During the autumn days of September 11, 2011, when we were all traumatized by the attacks, there was a PSA, public service announcement, I think it was, that featured people of various ethnic backgrounds, different color skin, hair texture, accents, you know, people something like me too, you know what I mean? And they were featured in that PSA announcement, and they all said one thing: I'm an American. You remember that? I'm an American. You know, I'm an American. I'm an American. I'm an American. I'm an American. Why? For that brief day, darkness was overpowered by light. The awful tragedy brought us closer together. We embrace one another. We embrace our homeland. Last Friday, while doing something at home, I heard the familiar words of that PSA, and I looked immediately at the television, and I saw a little part of the 2011 updated version of that PSA, if I would call it that. Although I was at a distance from the television, I tried to get in on what was happening. And yes, I saw the faces and I heard the voices. I'm an American. I'm an American. But soon the faces disappeared from the screen. The screen was black. And these words came on. 10 years later, still won. I beg to differ with that. 10 years later, still one nation? I beg to differ. Maybe that's the new American dream. I don't know. It's not reality. Because today we are more divided than we were on September 12th, 2001. Whether it is immigration, taxes, jobs, energy, health care, we are at each other's throats. After 9/11, we turn to each other. Today, we turn on each other. Last week, one union boss announced that labor has an army ready to wage war on fellow Americans. Well, I think that is more in the spirit of the 19 hijackers than it is in the spirit of peace-loving people. On 9/11, we found strength in each other. We found recourse in each other. Yes, we put aside our differences, and we embrace each other. And we should know that as we sit here in this place, as we walk this land, there are people across the world who rejoice when calamities strike us. In 2005 at Oxford University, in a seminar there, I was appalled at a professor who got up and gleefully spoke about America's plight. Oh, they thought they were a melting pot. Now they realize it's a salad bowl. It is not a united country. It's fallen apart. Well, you'd be surprised that I was among native-born Americans, and I was the only one who had the courage to take him on. It's not like that. We're supposed to be one people, one nation, under God. 9/11, 2001 showed us that we can come together as one people, serve the interests of each other, protect our homeland, love and care for each other. We may find recourse in the strength we all give to one another. There's a little story coming out of the tragedy of September 11th, 2001. It's a story that tells of a Pakistani man named Usman Farman, who worked in building number 7 of the World Trade Center. He was one of the lucky ones who made his way out of the building, and he was running for his life. But as he ran, he fell, and there he was lying on his back as that cloud of God knows what was coming towards him. As he lied there, as it were, helpless, an Orthodox Jewish man came upon him. And the Orthodox Jewish man went over and saw this Muslim was wearing this pendant that had an Arabic prayer on it, a prayer for peace, a prayer for security. And they spoke briefly, and then the Jewish man grabbed the hand of this Muslim and pulled him to his feet and said, "Let's get out of here." And he dragged him to safety. Usman Farman went on to say, "He was the last person I would have thought would have helped me." You see, we find recourse in each other. We come together. We pull together. We support each other. That's the lesson of 9/12. America came together. But a story of Job tells us, when bad things happen, we may find recourse not only in each other, we may find recourse in the Lord. And that is what Job did. Some time ago, an issue of Focus on the Family magazine told the story of Al Barka, a man who worked on the 105th floor of one of the towers. This man was a believer, and he used to share his faith among his fellow employees. And when he realized they were all trapped, 50 of them, nowhere to go, He led them in prayer. He told them about the Lord. Men who up to that time and women who up to that time had scorned his faith, now with him they turn to God. Why? When bad things happen, God is our recourse. And as we all know, before United Flight 93 crash in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, passenger Todd Beamer called the operator, informed her about what was happening, and before he rolled with the others, he asked her to pray with him. And together they said the Lord's Prayer. Why? When bad things happen, God is our recourse. People sought the Lord in 9/11. They returned to churches and synagogues and mosques. And George Barna, in his report, says that half of all American adults said it was their faith in God that helped them through that horrible tragedy. But today it is sad to see that we have no lasting benefit in the church because of it. Those who came just for that no longer come. And he remarked, it is most significant that at a time when we were attacked on our own soil, the spiritual complacency of Americans yet persists. It is said that unexplained suffering is the number one reason that people stop believing in God, coming to God. You know, you may be here today, something happens in your life tomorrow that's awful, you may stop coming. Hans Kung, German theologian, said, suffering is the rock of atheism. When bad things happen, we tend to dismiss God. God does not exist. God doesn't care. There is no God. The story of Job is here to tell us, when bad things happen, do not stop trusting God. Do not stop believing in God. Yes, though bad things happen to Job, look at verse 25 and 26. He would say, in spite of it all, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. This is the last day. And after my skin has been destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God. Job did not curse God. Job did not abandon his faith. The worst came upon him, yet he trusted. The Bible that tells us about paradise lost is a Bible that tells us about paradise restored. The Bible that tells us about hell's fire is the Bible that tells us about a new heaven and a new earth. When bad things happen, do not abandon your faith in God. Hold on. The trend today is to leave God out. The current controversy on whether we should include clergy in the 9/11 remembrance in New York City tells us a lot, right? Leave God out. Some of you may remember when America and the Allied forces invaded Europe on D-Day in 1944. President Roosevelt went on national radio and led the nation in 10 minutes of prayer, a prayer of blessing for the troops. I know those were different times. I know that very well, and that's the problem I have. In a time of crisis, people do not turn to their politicians. They turn to God. They turn to people who have a relationship with God to help them connect with God. God is our resource. So let the truth be known. And if you know Mayor Bloomberg, you could tell him this for me. The mayor is not rejecting the clergy. The mayor is rejecting God. The mayor is like many others who say, God bless America, but God keep out of our business. Mm-hmm. Bless us, but we don't want you in our public life. We reject God, but yet when something bad happens, we ask, where is God? Well, he is where you pushed him out of your life. And so the subtle message of the politician is simply this, friends. You as a people don't have to look to God. You have us. You don't have to cling to your Bible. You have us. And bad things happen. God is our recourse. O God, our help in ages past, a hope for years to come. And so we seem broken as a nation. We live in a day of malaise and hopelessness, it seems. Uncertainty about life, the economy, leadership. Brothers and sisters, we are believers. Amen? Our recourse is God. So when bad things happen, we may turn to each other for support as fellow Americans. And we remember the act of praise, Psalm 46, that we read together earlier on. God is a present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should be changed, though the mountains shake, the heart of the sea. For the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. Amen. We sing the song number 696. America the Beautiful.
Mountains, majesties, above the fruited plain. America, America, God sheds his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness, and every gain divine. O beautiful for patriotry, that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster, and dimmed by human tears, America, America, God mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty is Lord.
Let us pray together. So we are here, gracious God, by your mercies preserved. We thank you. And we trust the welfare of our country in your hands. How we pray, gracious God, that you will help us all to turn to you and find recourse there. Find help there. Find blessing there. You have not experienced the tragedy of 9/11 personally, but yet bad things might have happened to you in life. Yes, bad things might be happening to you right now. I want you to know that God is your recourse. Help is available. If you need the prayers and the support of a body of believers, you may find it right here among us. But also know this, you may turn to God in prayer. Don't turn your back on God. Draw near to God. Speak out of your pain, your hurt, your frustration, your sense of hopelessness. When bad things happen, God is a present help in time of trouble. So now, let us look to the Lord. What burdens you? What troubles you? What bad thing are you experiencing? Just cry out and say, Lord, I look to you. I call upon you. Deliver me, I pray. Set me free. Exalt me. And as you restore to Job more than was taken from him, I trust you to restore to my life all that has been lost. You are my recourse, O God. You are my help in time of trouble. Draw near to God. God will draw near to you. Amen. Amen.